Today's daf is Pesachim daf Tzadi Dalid. This is one of the more important dafim in halacha, in terms of determining the halacha, because this is the daf all about zmanim. It's how we know, based on an analysis of this daf, together with a couple of others in Shas, and how we make them work together, is how we figure out all of the zmanei hayom. So it's an important daf. Having said that, I didn't have time to prepare, so we'll see how it comes out. But the daf is going to discuss the following things. First, we're going to finish up our discussion about what's considered to be a biderech rechoka at a distance from Yerushalayim. That's how we got into the whole discussion, that someone who's biderech rechoka is pater from bringing karban Pesach on Pesach Rishon. So the Mishnah defined derech rechoka as a machlokas, either tesvav mil, 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, or just one step out of the Azara. So we're going to finish up that discussion. Then Rav is going to teach us about the thickness of the sky and the distance that the sun travels, and the Gemara is going to try to disprove each of Rav's chidushim. Rav has two chidushim, the Gemara is going to disprove each one of them. Then the Gemara is going to teach us two machlokas in between the Jewish chachamim and the non-Jewish scientists, and tell us maybe who's more correct in those machloksim. And then the daf concludes with a few more points about derech rechoka, including whether a person is required to make an effort to avoid being on a derech rechoka, and possible sources for the more limited definition of what a derech rechoka might include. So we left off at the top. We got onto daf tzadi dalet, I believe. So we're at Tanur Rabbanan, I think, on the fifth line, Tanur Rabbanan. So again, just to remind ourselves from yesterday, we had said that 15 mil is the definition of derech rechoka. So the Gemara said, well, how do we know it's 15 mil? Because we know from Modim, the Mishnah says, from Modim to Yerushalayim is 15 mil. And the way it works out is that a person can walk in an average day 40 mil. The Gemara assumed, based on Psukim by Lot, that from Amura Shachar to Netzach Chama, a person can walk 5 mil. From Shkias HaChama until Tzeisach Chavim, a person can walk 5 mil. So from sunrise to sunset, a person could walk 30 mil. So we assume from sunrise until Chatzos Hayom, you could walk 15. From Chatzos Hayom until sunset, you could walk another 15. And that's the Zman of the Shechitas HaPesach. From Chatzos Hayom until sunset, until Shkia, is the Zman of the Shechitas HaPesach. And during that Zman, you could walk 15 mil. So the assumption we were working with was that the definition of Derech Rechoka is that you're far enough away that if you were to begin walking at the Chilas Zman Shchitas HaPesach at Chatzos, you wouldn't make it to Yerushalayim, to the Azara, in time for the Sof Zman Shchitas HaPesach, which is Shkias HaChama. That's how we arrive at the number 15 mil. That was the discussion from yesterday. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braisa. Hayomid Chutz LaModiim. If a person was standing outside of Modi'im, v'yachal likanes besusim v'bepredim. But let's say he can make it back on time, even though he's beyond the 15 mil limit, but he can make it back on time because he has a very fast car. He has horses, he has animals that are going to be able to move fast. He's going to be able to get there. So yachal yechayev, I might think that he's chayev, that he's not considered to be b'derech rechoka, because the whole point of derech rechoka was that he can't make it back within the zman shechitas haPesach, but this guy can make it back. Talmud Lomar, that's why the Pasuk says, ubederech lo haya, that if he's not on a derech, that's when he's chayiv kares. V'ala haya bederech, but this guy was on a derech. The fact that he can make it back is irrelevant. Bottom line is, as long as he's on a derech, as long as he's on a path that's far away, that's all you need. What if you have the opposite case? A guy is close, he's closer in than Modi'im, but he's unable to get there on time because he has an old jalopy that can't go more than 2 miles an hour. He's never going to be able to make it on time. So he's got all these wagons and camels that he's got to take care of in order to be able to get there. It's not going to be so easy. So he's going to go much slower than an average person would be able to travel. Chayiv, I might think that he's not chayiv because, after all, he can't make it within the zman shchitas haPesach. Tam lomar ubederech lohaya vahare lohaya bederech. That's why the pasuk says, "A person who is not on a derech and doesn't bring the carbon Pesach is chayiv kares." This person is not on a derech because he's within 15 mil of the of where he needs to be, of the azara, so he's not considered to be bederech. In general, whenever we have halachos of being far away from something, so there's always a discussion discussion in the poskim. How do we measure? How do we figure out the distance? Is it based on time that it's going to take you to get there, or is it based on distance? That's the shaila of the gamal haporeach. The Gemara gives an example of the flying camel. A guy can make it back on a flying camel. So there was no such thing as a flying camel, but the point is that a guy could take the old days, the Concorde, right? And he can make it in faster time. So do we measure based on how fast he can make it based on modern travel, or do we measure it based on distance? When it comes to Avelos, Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yardei Asim Shinai and Hey, that someone is Meislo Meis Karov, Lo Yada Ad Shabal Makom Shemes Shemes, Im Hayu B'Makom Karov, Shu Mahalich Yud Parsaos, if he was within a Makom Karov, when he finds out about the Petira, where he could go back and be with the rest of the Avelim within one day's journey, Mona Imahim, then he counts his Shiva together with everybody else. So so the Achronim have a discussion. What if he's more than Yud Parsaos away, but he's able to get there on a plane or on a train, and he can make it within a single day's journey? So does he count with the rest of the Avelim? Because so if he could have been with them on that day, or do we say no, the Shiva is Yud Parsaos, that's the amount of time that it takes to walk by foot, Yud Parsaos. So the Shalom Meshav says that it's not considered one day. We only measure based al Piderach HaTeva, not Tachbulos and Ischachu Bizmanenu, these new modes of transportation that we came up with in our times. Yud Parsaos, it's a distance. Otherwise, all the Darkei Torah are going to change all the time. Whenever there's a new innovation, all the halachas are going to change. So we can't change anything. So that's how he's Mitzayin to our sugya, that when it comes to Karban Pesach, it's totally an alicha beregel. It doesn't make a difference how far you can travel personally. It's all totally on the distance beregel of 15 mil. However, in the Makar Chayim, he says that by Avelus, it's totally in how long it's going to take you to travel. And the raya also is from our sugya. What's the raya from our sugya? Because the Gemara needs psukim to show me that by Karban Pesach, it's all totally in whether you're on a derech or not. But generally speaking, when there are no psukim to indicate that it's all totally in being in a derech, so the natural assumption would be that it's tali in zman. You have a similar machlok saposkim when it comes to netilas yadayim in Aruch Chaim in Simkuf Samach Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says if you don't have mayim available, the chalamoi trips, this comes up a lot. You're on a chalamoi trip, so you're in the car traveling long distance, and anyway, we should be in a sukkah, but technically speaking, holchei drachim are patur from sukkah. So let's say you go with it, which none of us, for whatever reason, none of us rely on that, but holchei drachim are patur from sukkah. But let's say you don't want to rely on holchei drachim being patur from sukkah, because some poskim say, if it's on a stamish, batzir, with your family, so meichi tesi that you're a holich derech. That's not called a holich derech. That someone chooses to be away from a sukkah. That's a different story. Okay, it's a tough shita to really justify, but anyway, let's say you're not worried about sukkah, you go meikred in the holchei drachim patur from sukkah. So you're traveling a chalam oed and you're in the car, and there are sandwiches for everybody to have. So, but there's no water to wash with. So how far do you have to travel in order to find water? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if there's no mayim in front of you, but with in front of you 4 milin or behind you 1 mil, so then you don't need to do nitilas yadayim. You could be notal yadav b'mapa, and you eat the, you wrap your hand in a cloth and you eat the bread or something like that, or whatever davar shetibul b'mashka that we're also requiring to do, you just eat it that way, and you don't have to do netilas yadayim. So the machlokas is, what if a person has water that's available more than a meal away? A meal is less than a mile. It's not that it's not that far. So more than a meal away, but he could get there if he by car in a lot less than 18 minutes, and a lot less than the time that it takes to walk a meal. So this happens all the time. The next rest stop is 10 miles ahead. So it's more than 4 milin. It's way more than 4 milin, but it will take you only 10 minutes to get there if you're driving 60 miles an hour. So this is a discussion in the poskim, whether it's tully in the distance or it's tully in the amount of time that it takes to get there. So in the Beis Yaakov, he writes that it's tully in the distance. It has nothing to do with how long it's going to take you to get there. And he proves it from our sugya that we learn from Karban Pesach for Kol Dinei Torah, that if it's true of Karban Pesach, it's tully in the distance, same is true for Kol Dinei Torah. Obviously, the flip side is going going to be that no, our sugya has a pasuk. When there's a pasuk to tell you that, so then you follow what it says in the pasuk. But by netilas yadayim, there's no pasuk to tell you that it's tully in distance, and therefore maybe it should be tully in the amount of time that it takes you to get there. So this is a general machlokas that we have throughout halacha in terms of this is the only place where it's clear what the halacha is by Karban Pesach. All the other places the machlokas is, do we learn from Karban Pesach or do we learn dafka not like Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach has a pasuk. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. We have the same discussion when it comes to minyan, by the way, to being able to daven with a minyan. This came up in the summer. I was on a trip with my boys, and the closest minyan was 30 miles away or something, but it was way closer. But you know, there was not a single car on the road. You can make 30 miles. It's about a 20-minute drive. It was a 25-minute drive, so it was way less than 4 mil. So do you have to be matriach to go to a minyan? What if you have a suffolk whether they're going to have a minyan in the first place, because you're in the middle of Nowheresville, whatever, Ohio, where we were, and there was and the Shachris minyan they got like 90% of the time, a Mincha minyan like 2% of the time. So do you have to go and try to make the Mincha minyan? Okay, these are interesting shaylas. Amar Rava, you can ask my boys what we did. Amar Rava, Shisa Alfi Parsa Havi Alma. The world is 6,000 parsaos. Visumcha Derekia Alfa Parsi. So the world is 6,000 parsaos, and the thickness of the sky is 1,000 parsaos, meaning the Gemara assumes that there is a thickness to the sky, and that we're going to see machlokas later when we see a sunset. There's going to be machlokas in the Gemara. Let's assume for a moment that the earth is flat. Just bear with me. So the machlokas is, does the sun go underneath the earth at sunset and come back up the other side, or does it go over the sky and come back around the other side? So over the sky means that it has to go up, it has to go through the whole thickness of the sky, right? So how thick is that sky? So says Rava, Sumcha Derekia Alfa Parsi, Chad Gemara v'chad Svara. So he said these two statements, one of them he has as a tradition, and one of them he says as his own Svara. So Savalak Yadam Rabbar Bachanam Rabbi Yochanan, Kam Mahalichadam Beni Nibi Yom, Yud Parsaos. So he assumes, like Rabbar Bachanam Rabbi Yochanan, fitting in with what we said yesterday, that how much can a person walk in one day? Yud Parsaos, which is the equivalent of 40 mil. Me'alos HaShachar V'ada Netzachama, He Milin. From Alos HaShachar till Netzachama, person can walk 5 mil. Mishkiya Sachama Tzeitzuk Chavim, Chamisha Milin. From Shkia until Tzeisak Chavim, from sunset until Tzeisak Chavim, person can walk 5 mil. Nimsa Ovi Shal Rakia, Echad Mishisha Bayom. So it turns out that the thickness of the sky, meaning from Alos HaShachar, the first rays of light, until sunrise, that's when the sun is traveling the thickness of the sky. Or from sunset until Tzeisak Chavim, that's when the sun is traveling the thickness of the sky. And it takes 5 mil worth for the sun to travel the thickness of the sky. The whole rest of the day, when the sun is out and is traveling across the entire earth, it's 30 mil. So the thickness of the sky is 1/6 of the whole day, of the size of the entire world. So if the world is 6,000 parsaos, so the thickness of the sky is going to be 1,000 parsaos. Again, because the sun travels through the whole world in six times the amount of time that it takes the sun to travel through the thickness of the sky. That was his cheshbon. That was Rava's basic cheshbon. So the Gemara is going to ask lots of kashas. It's going to have four rejections of this shita that the sun travels 6,000 parsos from sunrise to sunset, and it's going to have several rejections of the idea that it travels 1,000 parsos to get through the thickness of the sky. So says the Gemara. Says Gemara as follows: Meisve, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ovi Shal Rukia Achad Me'asara Biyom. Rabbi Yehuda says that the thickness of the sky is actually 1/10 of the length of the day. Teida, how do I know this? Kam Mahalichadim Ben Biyom. How far does a person travel? Can a person walk in a single day? Eser parsaos, 10 parsaos, so that's the same like we said, 40 mil, 10 parsaos, which equals 10 parsaos, is the amount of time a person walks from Alos HaShachar until Tzeisa Kuchavim. Ome Alos HaShachar v'ada Netzachama arba asmilin. From Alos HaShachar until Netzachama, a person walks 4 mil. Now we're changing some numbers here. Person walks 4 mil, not 5 mil like we've been assuming. Mishkiya Sachama v'tzeisa Kuchavim arba asmilin. From Shkia until Tzeisa Kuchavim, person walks 4 mil, again, not 5 mil like we've been assuming. Nimtzeis Ovyo Shal Rukia, Echad Me'asara Bayom. Turns out the thickness of the sky is 1/10 of the day, which l'chora doesn't really equal 1/10. L'chora would equal 1/8, right? Meaning if you knock out 4 at the beginning, 4 at the end, so you're left with 32 in the middle. So it should really be 1/8, but it means 1/10 of the total. So somehow but the bottom line is it's not 1/6. So it's not that the world is 6,000 parsos and the thickness of the sky is 1,000 parsos, because that ratio is not true. We see over here that the amount of time it takes for the sun to get through from Alos HaShachar until Netzach Hamo and from Shkias HaChama until Tzeisach Chavim is only 4 mil worth of walking, not 5 mil. So Tiyufta Durava, Tiyufta. So the Gemara says that's Tiyufta Durava, Tiyufta Du'ula, Tiyufta Durava, Tiyufta. So says the Gemara, that's a Tiyufta on Rava. Again, that Rava wanted to teach that it's 1/6. You see that it's not 1/6, because a person can walk 32 mil from sunrise sunset, 4 mil from Alos HaShachar sunrise, from sunset to Tzeisach Chavim. So it's against both Rava, who held that the thickness of the sky is 1,000 parsels, L'chor, it's also against Ula, right? Clearly against Ula, holds that a person walks 30 mil from sunrise to sunset, which is the calculation that Rava relied on for his Shita as well. So Tiyufta de Rava, Tiyufta de Ula, Tiyufta. So it's a Tiyufta on both Rava and Ula. Says the Gemara, maybe it's also a Tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan was, so it says in Tiyufta, Leimatavi Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan. Should we say it's a Tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan also? So it's more, no. Amar lach ana biyamamu hu da amri, Rabbanan hu da kato, da kachashman, da kadma v'chashucha. So the Rabbi Yochanan was simply misunderstood by later Amorayim. So it's not against Rabbi Yochanan. Leimatavi Tiyufta to Rabbi Chanina. Should we say that it's a Tiyufta on Rabbi Chanina also? Rabbi Chanina, remember, was the one who said that low travel traveled 5 mil from Alos HaShachar to sunrise. Now we're saying that you can only travel 4 mil in the amount of time that it takes to get from Alos HaShachar. Rabbi Chanina is one that said, I saw the places that the Torah describes where a person goes from where the Torah describes that Lot went from Alos HaShachar to sunrise, and I saw that it was 5 mil. So it says, Gemara lo, vayitzu an shayni. The pasuk says that the malachim were hurrying him, they were rushing him. So he better get moving, better get. So he was going faster than the average person, but the average person would only travel 4 mil in that amount of time. So at the end of the day, this brisa is a tiyufta on Rava, who said that the sky is 1,000 parsels. It's a tiyufta on Ula, who said that a person walks 30 mil from sunrise sunset, because you have 32 mil over here. It's not a tiyufta against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan is simply misunderstood by later Amoraim. Nor is it a tiyufta against Rabbi Chanina, because Lot could have been traveling at a faster pace than normal people travel at. Now this discussion right here in this Gemara is very critical in terms of understanding a little bit about Zmanim. So first of all, let's do the most basic discussion first. We'll see if we have time for more. The Gemara quotes this brisa that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shkias HaChav until Tzeisach Chav, a person can walk 4 mil, which we assume, according to many, many poskim, not all, but many, many poskim, is about 72 minutes, 4 mil. It's 18 minutes for 1 mil, so 4 mil would be 72 minutes. According to others, it's 90 minutes, but let's assume 72 minutes. Tosos raises the following kasha. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us that the Zman of Bein HaShemashos, between Shkias HaChav and Tzeisach Chav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is the amount that it takes to walk Shloshes Rivei Mil, 3/4 of 1 mil. Our Gemara says from sunset to Tzeisach Chav, it's 4 mil, 72 minutes. The Gemara in Shabbos says the amount of time that it takes for the entire Bein HaShemashos period is 3/4 of a meal. If a meal is 18 minutes, it's only 3/4 of 18 minutes. Even if you hold a meal of 24 minutes, then the whole Bein HaShemashos would only be 18 minutes. So that's a steer on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. What do we do with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda over here says it's 4 meal, over there 3/4 of a meal. It's not even close. So what do we do with that? So Tosfos quotes the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that there are two shkios. There's what we call Tchilas Shkia and Sof Shkia. At the beginning, where the sun begins to dip below the horizon in the thickness of the sky, and it's still daytime, from then until Tzeisach Chav, a person can walk 4 mil. But once a person has walked 3 1/4 mil, meaning the amount of time that it takes to walk 3 1/4 mil after the sun begins to dip below the horizon, that's called the Shkia Shnia. That's called the second Shkia. That's when when the sun sets into the full thickness of the sky, and that's when Ben HaShemeshos begins. So essentially what Rabbeinu Tam tells us, what we call sunset is only Shkia Rishona, and that is halachically, in regards to what begins Ben HaShemeshos, not sunset. Sunset is 3 1/4 meal later. So you wonder about places that have a minhag that they end Shabbos so late, and they also daven mincha so late after Shkia, because they paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. That if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, Shkia, what we call Shkia, is not the deadline for Mincha. The deadline for Mincha is 3 1/4 meal after Shkia, and that's why, but if you're going to go like that, then you're going to have to end Shabbos much later also, because you're going to hold that Seisal Chavim is only 4 meal after what we call Shkia. However, the Shita of the Gaonim, which is known as the Shita of the Gra, because the Vilna Gaon was very into the Shita, Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. In Europe, many communities, particularly Hasidic communities, follow the Rabbeinu Tam, Bein L'Chumra, Bein L'Kula. Nowadays, you don't find anyone who follows it. You rarely find people who follow it Lakula, who are going to continue to do Malacha on Erev Shabbos until Rabbeinu Tam's man. But they follow Bein L'Chumra, Bein L'Kula, because that's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. That's Shita's Rabbeinu Tam. The Shita of the Gaonim is that Shkia Sachama is not, it's not two steps. It's a one-step process. Shkia is Shkia. That when the ball of the sun dips below the horizon, that's Shkia. From then until Tzeisak Chavim, it's only 3/4 of a meal, like the Gemara in Shabbos says. What about our Gemara? So the Maram Al Shikr says that our, it's a steer in two Gemaras. We got a Paskin like one of them. We Paskin like the other one. We Paskin like the Gemara in Shabbos, and not like our Gemara. So the entire Brisa is only Litzad, meaning this whole discussion, our Gemara, says Maram Al Shikr, is only working with the assumption that the sun goes up over the sky and travels, but that's not, we don't paskin that that's what happens. I mean, that's not what happens. So the only then would be shayach to say shtei shkios. But the emes is that the sun goes under the earth, under the ball of the earth, like the chachmei umas ha'olam say, like we're going to see later on in the daf, and therefore it's there's only one shkia, and right after shkia, that's when Bein HaShemeshos begins, 3/4 of a meal later, that's what we call Seis HaKochavim, and therefore it's already Vaday Laila, 3/4 of a meal later. The Bir Agra proves this. He says as soon as we don't see the sun anymore, Bein HaShemeshos starts, and he answers Rabbeinu Tam's Teretz. He says that our sugya might be talking, he says, different than Ram Al Shikr, that our sugya might be talking, not that we reject our sugya might be talking about not Seis HaKochavim, but something else, called Seis Kol HaKochavim. When we say 4 meal later, that's a later zman called Seis Kol HaKochavim. Dine Torah, all you need is not Kol HaKochavim, you need 3 medium-sized stars in order for it to be considered Seis HaKochavim. That's clear in the Gemara and Shabbos. And that's how Shulchan Aruch Harav Paskins, that's many other poskim say that way as well. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, according to this, we have to be very careful not to do any malacha once on Erev Shabbos, once the ball of the sun dips below the horizon. Even a malachas mitzvah like Hadlakas Neiros for Suda Shabbos, a person should be very careful to make sure all that gets done before Shkia Sechama, because after that, it's already, according to the Gra and the Gaonim, it's already considered Bein HaShemeshos. So the Bir Halacha says, this is not a new Shita, it's already found in the Rishonim and the Gaonim, Ram Al Shikr, Rav Haigon, Rav Nisim Gaon, these are all Gaonim, so it's not just that the Vilna Gaon came up with this idea in the 19th century, the 18th century. No, this is a long-standing Shita. So that's the very rudimentary basics of the Zmanim issue is all based on this sugya and how to make this sugya work with the sugya in Masechta Shabbos. Okay, we should get moving. Okay, there's more to discuss in terms of davening mincha after shkia. Maybe if we have time later, we'll come back to it. We never do, but we'll see if we have time later. So it says more Tashima, right? That's Rav. Tashima. So the Gemara again, we're going to try to disprove Rava. We already disproved Rava's idea that his second teaching, that Sumcha Derikia Alpha Parsi, that the thickness of the sky is 1,000 parsos. Now we're going to try to disprove Rava's first idea that the world is 6,000 parsos big, and we're going to have four disproofs for Rava. Four four rejections of Rav Shita that the sun travels 6,000 parsels from sunrise to sunset. So Tashma, number one, Mitzrayim haya arba meos parsa al arba meos parsa. Mitzrayim was 400 parsels by 400 parsels. U Mitzrayim echad mishishim bekush, and Mitzrayim is 1/60th the size of Kush. Vekush echad mishishim ba'olam, and Kush is 1/60th the size of olam. Va'olam echad mishishim began, and the olam, the world, is 1/60th the size of the Gan. Vegan echad mishishim be'eden, and Eden and Gan is 1/60th the size of Eden. Ve'eden echad mishishim be'gehenim, and the Eden is 1/60th the size of Gehenim. Nimtza kol olam kulo ki kisur kedera le'gehenim. So it turns out that the whole world is just like a pot cover for Gehenim. Meaning Gehenim is so much larger; it's like the pot, and the difference between a pot and the size of a pot and a pot cover is the difference between the size of Gehenim and this world. I don't know if that's a comment about how much space is needed there for all the people that are there. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but the world is much, much smaller than Gehenim. But what's the point over here? That Mitzrayim is 400 by 400 parsels. The world is 60 times an area that's 60 times bigger than Mitzrayim. Kush is 6 times bigger. The world is 60 times that, which means it's way more than 6,000 parsels. And the sky is even bigger than the world. So how can you say that the sun only travels in the sky 6,000 parsels? The sun travels much more. So Tiyuftas, that's a rejection of Rava, Rava's idea that it's only that the world is only, that the sun only travels 6,000 parsels. Second rejection, Tashma, Detan Be'elio, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Kol Yishuv Kulo, Tachas Kochav Echad, the entire Yishuv, the entire civilized world fits underneath one star. Tachas Kochav Echad Yoshev. Teda, and the proof is Shayadam Nosinena B'Kochav Echad. A person could look at one star in the sky, and then Holech LeMizrach, travel as far east as he could possibly travel. Omid Kenegdo, and he's still right underneath that same star. The star is not more to his right or to his left; it's still directly on top of him. La Baruch Hasolam, Omid Kenegdo. He could travel in any direction as far as he wants, and that star is still right there. It doesn't move. Mechal B'Chol Yishuv Kulo Tachas Kochav Echad. So you see, the entire civilized world is under Tachas. It sits under one star. So Tiyufta. So again, that's Tiyufta to Rava, because the entire world fits under a single star, so the sky must be way bigger than 6,000 parsels, because we know the world itself is close to 6,000 parsels, or as many, many parsels. So there's no way that if a single star in the sky takes up the space of the entire world, so the sky is much, much, much bigger than the world, so it's got to be way bigger than 6,000 parsels. So that's the second Tiyufta on Rava. Tashma, third Tiyufta on Rava. Agala b'tzafon va'akrav b'darim. It describes some of the constellations. So the constellation of Agala is in the north, and Akrav is in the Scorpion. Scorpio is b'darim, is in the south. The kala yishuv kulo einu yoshev ele ben Agala la'akrav. And the entire yishuv is between those two constellations. The kala yishuv kulo einu hava ele shah achas b'yom. And the entire yishuv is only 1 hour, 1/12 of the day of the moving of the constellations in the sky. 1/12 of their movement that covers all of the entire yishuv. Shein cham in the chnesas yishuv el shah achas b'yom, because the sun only goes over the civilized world for 1 hour of the day. Teda sheba, meaning the rest of the time, the sun is outside, is not directly above the civilized world. So a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, a little bit east, a little bit west. It's only actually directly overhead for 1 hour of the day. Teda shebechamish chama b'mizrach, and the fifth hour the sun is in the east. To b'shevecham b'marav, the seventh hour it's already in the west. When is the sun right above us? When is it right overhead? That's only from 5.5 hours to 6.5 hours into the day, and that's it. So there's only that 1 hour where we have the sun. So the Brisa says that it only takes the sun one out of the 12 hours it travels to pass over the entire civilized world, so it has to travel more than 6,000 parsels. Again, keeping in mind that the civilized world is much, much, much smaller based on the traveling of the sun than the sky, than the full travels of the sun in the sky, and the civilized world is much more than 1/12 of 6,000 parsels, so the sun's got to travel way more than 6,000 parsels in the sky. Tashma, Raya number 4, that Rav is wrong. The last Raya. Dam Rav Yochum and Zakai. Matshuva Shivasa Baskal, Losa Rasha, Bisha Shamar, Ella Bamasa Ava, Damala Elyon. That what was the response that the Baskal had to the absurdity of Nebuchadnezzar's threat to go up to heaven? Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm gonna go up to heaven, I'm gonna, you know, show who's boss, I'm gonna travel up to the heavens. So the Baskal said to him, Yatsa Baskal Vamrlo. The Baskal came out and said to Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha ben Rasha Ben Bino Shel Nimrod HaRasha. You Russia, the son of Russia, the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha. Shehimrod is Kololam Kulo Alai, Malchuso. Nimrod who caused the entire world to rebel against me with his Malchus. Kamashnos of Shaladim. How long do you plan on living that you think you're going to be able to travel all the way up to the Rakia? A person lives for how long? Shivim Shana. On average, the person lives 70 years. We find that was the same argument starting with Kamashnos of Shaladim, Shivim Shana, that Yitzchak Avinu made to defend Klal Yisrael. How much could Klal Yisrael sin already? The guy only lives 70 years, 20 years that you're not even Chayv Kares for, and he works from there. So the Baskel says to Nebuchadnezzar, how long does a person live? 70 years. Vim begvuro shmanim shana. If you're lucky, you get to live 80 years. Wonderful. Shneimar yimeishno senibem shivim shana vim begvuro shmanim shana. The pasuk says like that. But an average person lives 70 years. If you're lucky, you get to live 80 years. Mina aretz ad l'rakia. To travel from aretz until rakia, mahalich chamesh meos shana. It will take 500 years to travel from the land to the sky. Va'ovyo shel rakia. Then the thickness of the sky itself, Mahalich Heimel Shana, is another distance of 500 years of travel. Ubein Rakia LaRakia, and between each level of Rakia, Mahalich Heimel Shana, is another 500 years of traveling. V'chein Ben Kol Rakia Rakia, between each and every level of Rakia, is 500 years of traveling. Achol Shol Tarei Del Yachse Bar. So you're going to be thrown into the depths. You're not going anywhere. You're not traveling up to the sky. So an average human lifespan is only 70 years. It's a 500-year journey to the lowest heaven, and the earth is also a 500-year journey, way more than the 6,000 parcels that Rava claimed the sun travels in the sky, right? Meaning you see the size of the sky is just overwhelming. It's way more than the amount of... Now, the truth is, each of these four disproofs of Rava would yield a different number also of how large the sky is. But the point is that it's just way, way bigger than Rava, than Rava thought it was. That's so Tiyufta, so it says Gemara, that's a Tiyufta and Rava. Good, now the Gemara is going to record two machloksim that took place between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas HaOlam. Tan Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Galgal Kavua Umazalos Chozrin, V'Chachmei Umas HaOlam Omrim, Galgal Chozer Umazalos Kavuin. The Chachmei Yisrael, the Jewish scholars say that the zodiac doesn't move, the constellations move around it. The Chachmei Umas HaOlam say, no, the zodiac revolves around the constellations. So that was machlokas number one. Amr Rabbi Chuvalu Devrayim, Me'olam Lamatsinu Agala Bedarim Vakra B'Tzafon. The raya against them is that we never find Agala in the south and Akra B'Tzafon, meaning each of those constellations stay where they are. The Agala is always B'Tzafon and the Akra is always Bedarim. The Egla is always B'Tzafon and the Akra is always Bedarim. So Maskar of Achabar Yaakov Vidilma Kibbutzina Derechaya. Maybe it works like a mill where one of them stays in place and the other one spins around it. So the fact that it never looks like it moves doesn't necessarily mean that it's not moving. It could just be moving and everything else is staying in place. Meaning where it's moving two concentric circles that are moving together that make it look like it's staying in place. Inami Kitzinora Didasha, like a door hinge. That's machlokas number one. The second machlokas is as follows. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, B'yom Chama Ma'alechas L'mata Min Arakia, U'Belayla L'mala Min Arakia. The Chachmei Yisrael say that during the daytime, the sun travels under the sky, that's why we're able to see it, and during the nighttime, it goes over the sky, above where the sky is, and that's why we're not able to see it at nighttime. The Chachmei Umos HaOlam Omrim, but the Chachmei Umos HaOlam say, no, B'yom Chama Ma'alechas L'mata Min Arakia, U'Belayla L'mata Min Arakia, L'mata Min Akarka, rather, that during the daytime, the sun travels under the sky, so we're able to see it, and at nighttime, it travels under the ground, it travels under the earth, and that's why we're not able to see it, because it goes on the other side of the globe, it goes under the earth. Amar Rebbe, V'nirin Divrei Hen Midvarei Nu. They scientists know better than the rabbis. They seem to have it more correct than we have it. Based on what we're able to observe in terms of the natural springs. During the daytime, the natural springs are colder. During the nighttime, they're warmer. Why are they warmer? It must be that the sun is closer to them, not further away from them. According to the Chachmei Yisrael, the sun goes up, so it goes further away from the springs that are in the ground. According to the Chachmei Masa'olam, the sun goes under the earth, so it's going to be closer to those natural springs. So the fact that the natural springs are hotter at nighttime shows that the Chachmei Masa'olam were more correct than the Chachmei Yisrael were. This is a major maramakom in terms of the issue of whether Chazal could be wrong about science. Right? This is a major discussion amongst contemporary Gedolei Yisrael, whether whether one could say when we know something scientifically is against what Chazal say. We know Chazal can't be wrong about halacha. Chazal have traditions in halacha that we have to follow, regardless of anything else, regardless of our perceptions of our own knowledge and how great we are in terms of what we understand. What about science? They make certain scientific assumptions which may have been very cutting edge for their time, but do we have to assume that there's got to be some way to touch it up when it's against modern day science? So there are three basic approaches. One approach is that we're just misunderstanding everything they're saying, and that really everything they say is accurate according to our science also. If we know something to be scientifically true, Chazal probably said it also, and we just have to figure out what they really meant, but it's not the pshuto shel dvarim, the way the words mean it. That's a very difficult position to take, because it's very hard to fit into everything that Chazal say. The second position is scientists are a bunch of apikorsim, and we have Chazal, and that's it. And you can't believe the apikorsis of every scientist that lives. And just like there's a scientific endeavor, always we always have new discoveries every day, and we always find out that things that we thought were 100% true in Torah, Moshe, Sinai a few decades ago turn out to be completely false. So Chazal is kavua v'kaima. That's absolute, and everything else that science tells us is just up in courses, and it's just a matter of time until we figure out why it's wrong, but we're going to figure out that that's all wrong as well. And then the third approach is that Chazal were using the science of their time, and that science could be flawed, meaning when Chazal makes scientific statements, that science could be flawed. But the halacha based on that science is not flawed. We still have to observe the halacha. So when Chazal talk about organisms that are types of bugs that you find in fish, let's say, that spontaneously generate, and we know that there's no such thing as spontaneously generating worms or bugs in fish or in vegetables. So the halacha should change based on. No, the halacha doesn't change, but we assume that what they observed as spontaneously generating was something that came from microscopic eggs, that there was no way they would have been able to see those microscopic eggs. So the halacha is based on what the eye can see, and is not based on whether in reality it spontaneously generates or not. So the halacha stays the same, but the science, they didn't have to be so accurate in the science. Those are the three basic approaches that you'll find various gedolim take. I'm not going to get into it right now, just to let you know those are the three basic approaches, and this Gemara is a major source, because this, how you understand this Gemara, where one of the members of Chazal switches teams. He says, they got it better than we got it. We were wrong about how the sun travels at nighttime. Okay, Tanya. Rabbi Nassan Omer. During the summertime, the sun travels on the height of the sky. And that's why the whole world is so hot. But the springs are cold. During the winter time, it travels in the lower part of the sky. So it's more at a distance, further away from the yishuv. I mean, it's off to the side, so the whole world is cold. But it's closer to the ground in the horizon, so it's all the mayanos are boiling hot. Tan Rabbanan. New Braisa, Barba Shvilin Chamama Alechas. There are four different paths that the sun takes. So during different seasons of the year, Nisan Iyar V'Sivan Malachas Baharim Kedei Lefasher Es Hashalagin. During Nisan Iyar and Sivan, it travels in the mountains to melt the snow. Tammuz Av Ve'Elul Malachas BiYishuv Kedei Lefasher Es Haperus. During Tammuz Av and Elul, it travels in the Yishuv in order to ripen fruits. Tishrei Marcheshvan V'Kislev, during Tishrei Marcheshvan V'Kislev, I don't think you can count this as Daf Yomi coincidence that it mentions Tishrei in the middle of Tishrei, it mentions every month. Tishrei Marcheshvan V'Kislev, it travels Malechas B'Yamim, it travels by the oceans, K'tir Liyavishas and Aharos, to dry up the rivers a little bit. Tevish Shvat V'Adar, Malechas B'Midbar, Shalol Liyavishas Azraim, it travels in the desert, not to dry out all the plants. So these brises discuss where the sun travels during different seasons of the year, the effect it has on water, snow, fruits, rivers, seeds. Okay, wonderful. Rabbi Elazar Omer Me'askufas. So now go back to the Mishnah. We were discussing what's considered a derech rechoka. So the Mishnah had said that according to the Tanakhama, a derech rechoka means tesvav mil, 15 mil away. But then Rabbi Elazar came with this gevaldik chiddush that if you're one step outside of the azara, that's called the derech rechoka. The outside of the azara is considered a derech rechoka. So the Gemara is going to ask that Rabbi Elazar implies that even if the person could have come into the azara, but he chose not to, he's still pater. And we're going to find a brisa that Rabbi Elazar says that someone who's an aril could have given himself a bris mila and brought korban pesach chayiv karis for not doing so. So which is it? If you have the ability to correct the situation, are you chayiv, and you didn't, are you chayiv karis or you pater from karis? So v'avgav d'matzi ayil v'lom rinun le'kum ayil, even though he could have taken that one step into the azara, and we don't tell him, no, you have to take that step. V'atani, but we have a brisa otherwise. Yehudi aril shalom mal, Enosh Kares, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that a Jewish person does not have a bris mila, and he could have given himself a bris mila and been able to bring the Korban Pesach. He's Chayiv Kares for not bringing the Korban Pesach, according to Rabbi Elazar. So apparently, whenever you can correct the situation, you have to correct the situation. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Number one, Amar Abaye, Derech Rechoka Letahar, Ve'in Derech Rechoka Letameh. Just like the exemption of Derech Rechoka doesn't apply for somebody who's Tameh, it also doesn't apply for somebody who doesn't have a mila. So the p'tur that we're saying over here is derech rechoka, and that p'tur of derech rechoka works even if you can fix it. But there's no p'tur of an arel. That's if you could fix being an arel, that you gotta fix. Derech rechoka is a special din that even if you could fix it, you have a p'tur called derech rechoka, that if you're outside of the azara, you're pater. Rava Amar Tanaihi. Rava says we already have at least two versions of Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Aside from what we just quoted, we already have two versions of Rabbi Elazar's opinion. One that defines Derech Rechoka as outside Yerushalayim, and another one that defines Derech Rechoka as outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So it could be that the Braisa, we're going to see in a second, that the Braisa about an Arel is a third version of Rabbi Elazar's opinion, which defines Derech Rechoka as somewhere that you can't get back in time to Shech the Korban Pesach. So since we have so many versions of Rabbi Elazar's opinion, what's one more? So if it's, you can't ask Steeres in Rabbi Elazar, we just have so many versions of what he actually said. Titania, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nema Richuk Makom B'Pesach, Nema Richuk Makom B'Meiser. It says Richuk Makom in regards to Pesach, and it says in regards to Meiser. Mal Alon Chutz La'Achilaso, Afkan Chutz La'Achilaso. By Meiser, when it comes to Meiser Sheni, the Halach has got to be in Yerushalayim. So Derech Rechoka by Pesach must also mean anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says also in the name of that same Rabbi Eliezer, Chutz la'asiyaso. No, it's outside of the Azara where you do the Asiya of the Korban Pesach. That's called Derech Rechoka. So you see already there are two versions of Rabbi Elazar. So Kamad Azal Adam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yosef B'tmei Amalach HaRov HaUmdin Ba'Azara. Which opinion do we assume Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is following when he tells us that when we're cheshbening the amount of Tamei people versus the amount of Tar people to figure out whether Rov of the Tzibur is Tamei, we only count people who are Omed Ba'Azara? That's obviously going like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shita within Rabbi Elazar, that it all depends on the Azara, that Derech Rechoka is defined as outside of the Azara. Amarlo Rabbi Yossi Lefichach. So Rabbi Yossi supported Rabbi Elazar's position that anybody outside the Azara is considered to be Bederech Rechoka from the fact that there's a dot over the hay to indicate that it isn't really talking about a faraway place. Whenever in Masorah we have a dot in the Sefer Torah, it means don't take that word literally. So Rechoka doesn't mean literally Rachok, it means relatively Rachok, but not really Rachok. It could just be outside the Azara. Tani Rabbi Yosef Liliomer Derech Shomei Ani Mahalich Shnayim Oshoshi Yamim. The fact that it says Derech, I might think it's 2 or 3 days journey. Kishomer Biderech Lohaya. When it says Biderech Lohaya, Magid Shavaskofes Azar El Chutz Kari Derech. We see from there that it makes no mention of Rechoka when it says Biderech Lohaya. So we see that Measkofes Azar El Chutz is already called a Derech. Anywhere outside the Azara is called a Derech, and that's what's going to exempt someone from Karban Pesach. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up in the Mishnah on top of Tzadik.